Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo 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 Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 2, text 16. Mam
kedayati
etad ajasya
janma
vidambanam
yad
vasudeva gehe
raje
cha vaso
adipayat
iva
swayam
purad
vyavatsid
yadananta
viryaha
mam kedayachetad ajasya janma vidambanam yad vasudeva gehe
Raje
chavasori payadi vasvayam Purad gavatsid yadananta viryaha Mam kedayat yeta dajasya janma Virambanam yad vasudeva gehe Raje chavasori payadi vasvayam Purad vyavatsid yadananta viryaha Mam kedayat yeta dajasya janma Adam nam yad vasudeva gehe Aje vasori bhaya iva swayam Purad yavatsid yadananta viryaha Mam kedayat yeta dajasya janma Vidambanam yad vasudeva gehe Raje chavasori payadi vasvayam Puradhya vatsid yadananta viryaha Ladies. Mam kedayat yetad ajasya janma Vidambanam yad vasudeva gehe Raje chavasori payadi vasvayam Puradhya vatsid yadananta viryaha You're not planning to do anything with that, are you? You're not planning to do anything with that, are you? Good. Mam
to me,
kedayati
gives me distress.
Etat
this,
ajasya
of the unborn,
janma
birth,
vidambanam
bewildering.
Yat
that
Vasudeva gehe
in the home of Vasudeva
Vraje
in Vrindavan
Cha
also
Vasaha
inhabitation
Ari
enemy
Payat because of fear.
Eva,
as if.
Swayam,
himself.
Purat,
from Maturapuri.
Yavatsit,
fled.
Yat,
one who is.
Anantavirya,
unlimitedly powerful. When I think of Lord Krishna, how he was born in the prison house of Vasudev, although he is unborn, how he went away from his father's protection to Braja and lived there incognito out of fear of the enemy, and how, although unlimitedly powerful, he fled from Mathura in fear. All these bewildering incidents give me distress. Purport. Because Lord Sri Krishna is the original person from whom everything and everyone has emanated, aham sarvasya prabhava janmad yasya yataha, nothing can be equal to or greater than him. The Lord is supremely perfect, and whenever he enacts his transcendental pastimes as a son, a rival, or an object of enmity, he plays the part so perfectly that even pure devotees like Uddhava are bewildered. For example, Uddhava knew perfectly well that Lord Sri Krishna is eternally existent and can neither die nor disappear for good. Yet he lamented for Lord Krishna. All these events are perfect arrangements to give perfection to his supreme glories. It is for enjoyment's sake. When a father plays with his little son and the father lies down on the floor as if defeated by the son, it is just to give the little son pleasure and nothing more. Because the Lord is all-powerful, it is possible for him to adjust opposites, such as birth and no birth, power and defeat, fear and fearlessness. A pure devotee knows very well how it is possible for the Lord to adjust opposite things. But he laments for the non-devotees who, not knowing the supreme glories of the Lord, think of him as imaginary simply because there are so many apparently contradictory statements in the scriptures. Factually, there is nothing contradictory. Everything is possible when we understand the Lord as the Lord and not as one of us with all of our imperfections. Om Agyana Timirantasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kalamayam Tathati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Taptakam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Brindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanshaha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mam kediyatyeta drasya janma virambanam yad vasudeva gehe. Vajaya chavasori bhayad swa, bhayad iva swayam, purad vyavatsid yadananta viryaha. Feeling separation from Krishna, Uddhava is remembering the transcendentally contradictory pastimes of the Lord, where the Lord, although the Supreme Personality of Godhead, behaves like an ordinary human being. This is the sweetness of the incarnation of Krishna. Lord Narayan never behaves like an ordinary living being. He always behaves exactly like the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But Krishna subordinates his opulences for the sake of transcendental sweetness in loving exchanges. So in that, for that purpose, he behaves as if an ordinary human being and takes part in loving dealings or other loving dealings or even inimical dealings in that way. The inimical dealings, he appeared like a human opponent to his enemies. And even when that Jarasandha and Kalyavana were attacking or preparing to attack Mathura, the Lord fled as if afraid of their military power. These are little two-bit demons compared when you consider them in comparison to the power of the Lord. But the Lord took the role of a human being and fled the city when faced with these two armies coming from two different sides. Well, the Uddhava says these are bewildering pastimes because the Lord is anantavirya. He has unlimited prowess. And still, vivatsi, he flees from the city. This is his transcendental pleasure. And Vasudeva, first, Ajasya Janma Vasudeva Gehe. He's unborn, but he takes birth. Jayati Janani Vaso Devaki Janmavada. He lives within everyone's heart as the supersoul of every living entity, Janani Vas. And still, it's said that he's the son of Devaki. This is another of the Lord's transcendental pastimes. And because it appears that at his birth there's a great threat to his life from Kamsa, he leaves there. He leaves the protection of his father and goes to Braja, to Vrindavan, where he's known as the Yashodanandana. Therefore, Devaki Janmavado, it's said that he's the son of Devaki, but first of all, the Lord is the father of all living entities, Aham Bija Pradapita. And second of all, although he took birth, apparently, as the son of Vasudev and Devaki, he's awarded his childhood pastimes to Nanda Yashoda. And therefore, it can be said that the real parents of Krishna are Nanda Yashoda. That was admitted to Nanda Maharaj by Vasudev himself. He said that Krishna and Balaram know you as their parents because you're you're the ones who've brought them up and taken care of them for their whole childhood. So you're actually the real father and mother of Krishna and Balaram. Mm. You're the actual father. And of course, Rohini is there as the mother of Balaram. But Yashoda Nanda, Krishna is the son of Yashoda. Even more so, if that can be said, than the son of Devaki. So Devaki Janmabhado, he's said to be the son of Devaki. But first of all, he's the father of everyone, and second of all, he's more the son of Nanda and Yashoda. The Lord is able to harmonize all contradictions, because he's, in the material world, we find all sorts of contradictions, and they can't be reconciled except by saying that the world is a strange place and it's full of contradictory elements. Or if something's excessively contradictory, we say, oh, it's impossible. You can't be up and down at the same time. You can't be a one and a zero at the same time. It can't be black and white at the same time. It's contradictory. We reject it. We say this is a logical impossibility. You can't be in profit and in loss at the same time. So, but Krishna can be entirely contradictory, and he can do the impossible, he can be the impossible, he can, what is that, tarantarasya sarvasya tudu sarvasyasya payata. He's within everything, he's outside of everything. It's not a problem for him. He's the greatest of the great, anuraniya mahato mahiya, the smallest of the small, the greatest of the great. For him, he can be both, and he accommodates all of these things. It's not troublesome, it's not difficult. He's able to accomplish the impossible or exist in impossible ways. Exist in impossible ways. Because impossible just means that it can't be accommodated within our restrictive rules. But for Krishna, there are no rules. He can do everything. That's Krishna. So the Prabhupada takes it here that the lamentation is for the materialists who can't understand Krishna. They can't catch it. They can't make it out because of their poor fund of pious assets, because they're impious. They can't understand Krishna. They think that when the glories of the Lord are described, these are fairy stories, these are imaginations. But the Lord has immense capabilities. The story is there of the Brahmin and the cobbler. How, you know the story. The Brahmin, Narad Muni, was going to Vaikuntha, and he met a Brahmin. And the Brahmin said, where are you going? I'm going to Vaikuntha, see the Brahmin. Well, could you ask him when I'll be liberated? Yeah, sure. And then he met a cobbler sitting under a tree. Oh, Narad Muni, where are you going? Narayan. Oh, can you ask him when I'll be liberated? Sure. So then Narad Muni went to see Narayan, and there had some discussion. And well, one thing is, I met this Brahmin and this cobbler, and they want to know when they'll be liberated. So Lord Narayan said, yeah, the Brahmin, it'll be quite a number of lifetimes, long time. And Brahmin, the cobbler, right away. So Narad Muni was a little astonished, a pious Brahmin, and it's going to be so many lifetimes, and a cobbler right away. So Narayan said, yes, if that's astonishing to you, when they ask you what I was doing, tell them that I was pulling an elephant through the eye of a needle, this way and that way. So Narad Muni went back. He met the Brahmin. Oh, Narad Muni, did you meet the Lord? Yes. Did you ask him when I'll be liberated? Yeah, but it's going to be quite a number of births, long, many, maybe 100 births. often through the eye of a needle, this way and that way. Narada Muni, always telling stories, always joking. Then he met the cobbler, and the cobbler was very happy to know that he would be liberated right away. Asked what the Lord was doing, heard what the story was. He said, "Oh, the Lord is so great." Narada Muni said, "You believe it? Yeah, why not? Because the Lord can put, I'm sitting under this tree, and in each, on the tree there's so many fruits, in each fruit there's so many seeds. In each seed there's a tree. So if the Lord can put so many trees within one fruit, what's the trouble in pulling an elephant through the eye of a needle? It's child's play." So in this way, the cobbler had faith. But Prabhupada says reasonable faith, because he accepted that on the basis of the evidence from my own practical experience, Krishna can do these wonderful things. Inconceivable potency. Prabhupada gave another example that the tree eats with its feet. You can't do that. But the tree does it every day. And then it also produces citric acid in little packages, like lemons and oranges. You can't do that either, but the tree does it. So every living entity has some capability, which for those of us who can't do it, is inconceivable potency. It's like magic. The bats navigate without vision. The eagles see from so high in the sky. All these creatures have some wonderful abilities that we don't have. And that's called inconceivable potency. Inconceivable means you can't figure out how to do it or how it's done. So if all of these living beings have some inconceivable potency, then what to speak of Krishna? He has all of these things. Mam kediyate, apart from the meaning that Prabhupada gives here, more indirect meaning. The direct meaning is that Uddhava is feeling the pain of separation from the Lord. To be associated with the Lord is the greatest happiness, and to feel to be separated from the Lord is the greatest distress, especially to be separated after intimate association. And yet we learn from the acharyas that that feeling of distress is itself the source of the highest transcendental ecstasy. It appears to be painful, but the pain on the spiritual platform is not different from pleasure. Here we have pleasure and pain. Pain is terrible and pleasure is enjoyable. But on the spiritual platform, what's called pleasure and what's called pain are both transcendentally relishable, although one seems to be misery and one seems to be joy. Mam kediya tyeta rajasya janma vidambanam yad vasudeva gehe rajaya vaso aripayad eva swayam purad vivasit yadananta viryam. All right, are there any questions? Yes.
Interesting points for Ramishma. One question I could ask. You said reasonable faith, but that sounds perfectly understandable. But at the same time, there is the problem of mental speculation trying to extrapolate our present material understanding into the spiritual realm. For example, they say that in this world, hierarchy gives off so much headache, so therefore in the spiritual world there must be absolute equality in all respects.
There is. is absolute equality in all respects, and yet there's difference, and there's hierarchy. That's the contradictory nature of the Lord and the contradictory nature of the spiritual world. Everything is one, and yet there's difference also. Everyone is absolutely on the same platform, and yet there's hierarchy. Because it's accepted by great saintly persons, it's reasonable to accept. We do propagate the examples of how we, even every day, we operate on faith. You take $300, you hand it over to somebody you've never met before. She gives you a number and says, okay, you're booked for the flight. Right? And you just gave away $300, but you're confident that you will get on the flight because you have a number. It's faith. Or Prabhupada gave the example that you go to the barber shop and you sit in the chair and you hold your head back like that and the guy stands over you with a razor to your throat. This is faith. So we operate on faith in our everyday dealings. You go to a restaurant and they serve you food and you eat it, not knowing what that, you know, they might have put arsenic in it or who knows what, but you take it. Put your foot down and you have faith that the floor is going to be substantial. It's not guaranteed, but you have reasonable faith that it will be. There's so many ordinary things you have faith in. Something else.
Mm-hmm. I was just wondering if the Brahmin knew Narada Muni, who he was, how he wouldn't believe what he said, you know,
if the Brahmin knew who Narada was, why wouldn't he believe him? Well, that's the problem with being over intelligent. Especially, he would have believed him if he told him that you're going to be liberated tomorrow. But the tendency is not to believe bad news. You know, the doctor says you're perfectly healthy. You say, thanks a lot, doctor. The doctor says you have cancer and you've got 3 weeks to live. You say, no, I need a second opinion. Or you say, forget it, you know, it's out of the question, you know. Where did you go to medical school anyway? My astrologer says I have 30 more years to live. So that it tends to be that way, that we accept people as authorities when they tell us what we want to hear. And when they deliver bad news, we think they don't know what they're talking about. It's a problem. People can't hear good advice. People can't hear the truth. There's so many examples of people who've alerted their authorities to, you know, grave danger, the city's, you know, vulnerable to attack or whatever it is. And, you know, it's yeah. It's the nature of bad news. It's not readily accepted. And then we discredit the person who delivers it. Our opinion immediately drops. We think, well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. It's also a problem of being a person who tells the truth. People tend not to believe you. It's what you can call the Cassandra effect. Cassandra was, you know Cassandra?
Greek mythological figure, right?
Mm-hmm.
She had a curse and a blessing.
She had a blessing. Blessing was that she'd be able to tell the future, and the curse was that no one would believe her.
explaining it in terms of the mission to liberate the conditioned souls who are the external energy. Is that a lesser understanding?
No.
But it's indirect.
It's interesting, yeah. These are the things the acharyas do. They take a word and they let us see it from different angles of vision, or they take a pastime and they let us examine it from different angles of vision. So it's not necessarily higher or lower, it's just different. But okay.
Devotees are think that we in this time are externally engaged in karma, and we're not really in tune with higher principles of rasa.
Mm.
And we're missing the boat. Like a comment?
Well, I wonder if that's what you do when you catch the boat is criticize what other people are doing. That's not karma, of course. When you're busy criticizing other missions, that's not karma. That's I don't know, a manifestation of rasik bhav or something. I'm not saying that would be critical. I'm just saying that there might be some logical discrepancy in the claim. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada wrote in his introduction to, or preface to his original Indian Srimad Bhagavatam, Volume 2, I think, said that they see that we're moving in the paper markets and going to the printers and doing all of this stuff. It looks like we're engaged in ordinary work, like pounds, shillings, and pence men. So they don't understand the nature of this transcendental endeavor. The same criticism could have been, and apparently was, or at least Prabhupada theoretically proposed it. Same criticism could be leveled at him. He's just doing business. He's printing books and buying paper. He's doing business all the time. And in fact, there were some people in other missions, or mission Prabhupada came from, who ascribed Prabhupada's success to his business capabilities. Prabhupada was a businessman, but he came from a business background, and so when he came to America, he had some success to his commercial skills. Anyway, that's the way things go sometimes. But Prabhupada's point was that to be engaged in that sort of work for the satisfaction of Krishna, for the glorification of Krishna, and the satisfaction of the bona fide spiritual master, is transcendental activity. That was his point. Not that it's karma or ordinary work. It's spreading Krishna consciousness is not a karmakandhya activity. Something else? And it's kind of a bogus argument too, because the same people who make it keep accounts for their mission, build buildings, purchase cement, do the same sort of stuff that we do. So it's something of a hollow argument, because they themselves will understand the principle that performing normal actions of the mundane world for the service of Krishna and the spiritual master is transcendental activity. So it's sort of, it's one of those points that gets brought up so that people can fight with one another. It has no, it's not even something that we necessarily disagree about, but you have to disagree about something, so this will do. And if we ever agree on this point, then we'll find something else to disagree about, the nature of the material world. You didn't believe, the Brahmin didn't believe it, and you think that's not enough not to go back to Godhead.
Yeah,
well, it's not necessarily implicit in the story that he would have gone back to Godhead if only he'd accepted this one point. We could take it that a Brahmin is not necessarily a perfected soul. A Brahmin is someone who understands that he's not this body. And generally, the Brahmins are engaged in ritualistic activities, pious activities, and so on. They're not necessarily pure devotees. Bhaktya mama vijanati, Krishna says that one can understand me only by pure devotional service. Ivan yaschasmi tatvata. Tato mam tatvato gyatva vishate tananatra. And then he can enter into my spiritual world. To be a Brahmin is not the qualification for going back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj says you can be a Brahmin with all of those decorated with all the godly qualities, and if you're not a devotee, you won't do it. And you can be a cobbler, but if you're a devotee, then that's the